point where in this nation people are hurting all across the world even. And they need a God that can show them that He can save them. He can and He will. Y'all say amen if you agree with that. There's a text I like to bring us today. I believe the Lord's placed on my heart. I've said before, the Lord gives me different texts in a variety of different ways. Puts a message on my heart, puts something to give to people. This time it was an interesting thing. I noticed that the same text was being quoted by people who I was talking to throughout the week. Matter of fact, two times was this text mentioned in two different sections, and we're going to go over the whole chapter today, because I believe that this text is resonating in the hearts of people. I believe this is what God wants us to hear. We're going to be in the book of Philippians today. If you will, got your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there. Philippians chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, we'll have the verses on screen. We're just going to read a few verses together. And so I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence as we open up God's Word. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3. We're only going to read 4 verses, even though we're going to go through the whole chapter. I want to get to the first verse that I heard people talk about. Philippians 1, chapter 3, starts off like this. And I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. Then we get to verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's a good verse. Amen? That's something for us to be reminded of. God did not leave us. He will not leave us. He started the work in us, and He will perform that work until He comes back. Amen. He'll never quit on us. What Paul was doing at this point is he was showing the people how much God cared for them and how much He cared for them. The thrust of this text revolves around duty and honor of an individual to give the gospel out, but also at the reception of the people who hear it. Today you're either going to fall into one of those two categories. Somebody who hears it, if you hear it, I want you to accept it. Or somebody who knows it, and if you know it, I hope that you would accept what the duty calls you to tell it to others as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this text, for your word. May it sink deep into our hearts. And Lord, we ask your blessings upon the reading of your text and upon the hearts of your people. It's in your Son's name we do pray, our Lord, Savior, and friend. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. My first title for this sermon is Home is Where the Heart Is. I'll get the words out eventually. Home is where the heart is. Just recently, my mother was back in town. And to be honest, I asked her to come. I've been feeling a great big pull to my family as of recently. My family's going through some hardships down in Alabama. And as much as I wish they lived down the street from me, they just don't. And I'm partially glad of that. How many of you, you're like me, you can only take family for so long? Okay. I'm glad I'm a few hours away. But at the same time, I have to plan to meet them. I have to plan to talk to them. I can call them, but it's not the same. Y'all know that. I can call them, but it's not the same as hugging their necks. Letting them know how much I pray for them and I love them. It's just different. I wouldn't say that's my home, though. I was born and raised there. I have great reverence for Ozark, Alabama. I have great reverence for my family. That's not home. It's a place where I grew up. And I love it. My heart is there. But much like a lot of things in life, that's not the only place my heart is. I tell you, I love this church. I love its people. I love my wife.
I'm always going to put emphasis on that. Y'all know that, right? I love her with everything that I have. I love my kids. I love her family. I have come to love
even the beach. Took some time. I told y'all when I got hired here that I was not a beach goer. But it's been so cold, I would do anything for a warm beach day right now. There is some magnificent things that I have come to love in my life. But even that is not home. Let me tell you where home is. Home is with my God. I feel at most at home when I bow a knee and close my eyes and stand or kneel in the presence of God. If you don't know what that feels like, listen, I pray. Please let me know, because I will pray that God opens up that little section. I hope that you feel like I do in those moments. I hope everybody gets to feel like that sometime in their lives, when they bow before a holy God, they feel secure and loved and comforted, and in the presence of God, they feel at home. Paul wanted to get a few messages across in regards to this feeling. We're going to continue reading there in Philippians chapter 1. He sees the first half of his love drawn to a people. He wanted to remind them that God loved him, but he loved him as well. Going back to verse 6, he says, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meant for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. I want you to know something about this church, this Philippian church. They loved Paul. They gave to Paul. They put Paul on such a pedestal. They gave him anything of his needs. It was one of the churches that he loved. He says that they were partakers of his grace. That's an amazing concept to think about. Paul attributed everything that he was to this church. Now, let's just pause and take a minute here. My job as a pastor is to convey Scripture in such a way that it benefits its hearers. That's my job. I want you to see where Paul's coming from. He loved his church so much. There is no way Paul is at this point. He's making this statement in colloquial terms, if you'll pardon me from taking that Bible and changing the words around so we can understand a little better. He says, I could not be who I am. The grace that was given to me would not be anything if it wasn't for people like you. I am who I am because you are who you are. That's what he's saying. He says, the grace that God gave me, you are part of that grace. You're a part of my life. That's how church is. I want you to thrive in that knowledge. The people in this church would do anything for you if you asked them to. They would. Guests, people of different churches, even members, if you've never been here a day in your life, I promise you that the heart of our people rests on this fact. If you ask of them, they will. If at all possible, if they are willing and able, they are. They will. Now, they can't pull the moon a little bit closer. They probably don't have $1 million sitting in the bank. But if you ask them to rake your leaves, if you ask them to watch your house, if you ask them to walk your dog, there's not a doubt in my mind that people in this room would not say yes to that. Because they love people. We love you. Don't ever let a day go by you think the world doesn't love you, because you can always find someone who loves you in this church. We put our hearts on our sleeves and we wear them proudly. We have a love for people. Paul was praising the Philippian church for the things that they have done to him. Verse 8 He says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." What an amazing letter. Amen? I don't know if we would ever classify Paul as a poet, but that was very poetic. Everything that he mentioned, he puts this church on such a pedestal. He says, "Listen, you have loved me. You are partakers of my grace. I want to be with you so much that it is connected even to Christ himself." What I love comes at the latter parts in verse 9. He says, "For this I pray." This was his prayer. "That your love may abound." And listen, he's already talked about how much they've loved him and how much they've loved people and how their love was connected to everybody. But he says, "I don't want it to stay there. I want it to grow. I want it to abound more and more. I want you to become this beacon of love that the world cannot deny." And he says also, he says, "more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Not only is love at this point just an emotion, it's attached to their character. It's who they are. Verse 10 and verse 11 says, "that they may approve things that are excellent, and that they may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ." I love this verse in particular. He's telling us here, and I love this word, and if I could preach one verse to a people who understand where I'm coming from, I believe this verse really takes on a whole of my ministry. That individuals may approve things. Look at things. When they look at their world and they see what is good and what is bad, he says that they approve things that are excellent. That I look at a world and I see the good and the bad and I approve and I benefit and I side with the good. He says also that ye may be sincere. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I know of the word sincere, it's because there are people who doubt that sincerity. Let me say that again. Every time that I hear the word sincere, it's because there are people who doubt that sincerity. Paul saying, "Hey, I want you to be sincere in this love. I want it to be a part of who you are. I want you to take the words of God and I want you to plant them in your heart and let it change you. I want it to go one ear and out the other. This is not a motto. This is not a lifestyle. It becomes a part of who you are." Y'all say amen to that. We do not come to church because it's fun, even though I do enjoy it. I don't come to church because it's social, even though I like most of you. All of you, I'm just joking. I come to church because it's a part of who I am. If I'm not here, I'm going to be some other church. If I'm on vacation, I'm going to be at church. If a door is open, I want to be there, and I encourage you to be there. I'm never going to tell somebody, don't go to church. Matter of fact, if there's not a church to go to, I'm going to have it at the house. Matter of fact, that's where we were at COVID for a little while. When we first shut down, y'all remember that? And churches all across, and at the very beginning, nobody was streaming, nobody was doing anything unless they were already doing it prior. And so what we did is we opened up the Bible right there in the living room, and we had church. We sang, we prayed. We read the Bible, and we asked God to help us to do what it was telling us. We had church. Now that might seem odd to some people. But I want to tell you something. It's a part of who I am. And I want it to be a part of who we are. I don't need a preacher to teach me. God teaches me what the Bible tells us to do. He's the one. He's the mediator. We open up that Bible and let it teach us. We plant it into our hearts. That last verse, verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. We see that Paul really cares about the spiritual well-being of his church. We see in verse 6, God's work in them. We see in verse 8, how he longs to be with them, his desire to be close with them. There in verse 9, the spiritual and the intellectual growth of its individuals. Paul had a personal relationship with his people. Now listen, I already beat myself up enough as it is with COVID. Bless you. But it's truthfully, it's heart-wrenching that I can't spend personal one-on-one time with you at your houses. I know some of you disagree with all the things that are going on, but I would rather be safe than sorry. We've already lost a couple during this COVID. Don't know if it was COVID or not. I'm not out here to spread that. Either the news or COVID. But the truth of the matter is, I think God still protected us and kept us safe during all this. And I'd rather keep on that and not spread it the best that I can. I would like to have a personal relationship with you. So if you haven't heard from me in a while, I'm sorry. But know this, I do pray for you. I pray for the people that I meet. I pray for the people that I love. I have a book with all your pictures in it. I don't forget what you look like. I pray for you and I love you. And I want God to do something in your life. The same thing that Paul feels here is the same thing that I feel with my church. I want to be with them. I want to have a relationship with you. But at the same time, my desires are what God, what He is saying that God wants in their individual lives as well. I want God to be a part of your life. And I want God to grow you and to help you. I want God to literally encourage you to be the individual that you know you want to be as well. We are called to always improve. Y'all say amen to that. I understand. We lost a lot of things this year. Most of it is enthusiasm. We've lost a lot of enthusiasm. We're just rolling with the punches as 2020 and 2021 just keep rolling. We just keep fighting. But the priorities that were mentioned here are still the priorities. The two of them, we see that God's work in us. God hasn't quit on us. The world's hurt us, but God has not quit on us. And the last thing is that verse 9. It is my prayer that our love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Paul's heart was in the right place. Let's move on with Paul's persecution. We're going to start in verse 12. Go down to verse 20. We'll end on the second verse that I believe that that has been stated this week. And one that I'd really like to focus in on. But to get there, we have to get some context. Verse 12 says, "But I would ye should understand." I love how Paul transitions here. He gives them praise. He gives them all the honor and glory that he can bestow. And then he starts this verse. He says, "But I would that ye should understand this." He's recognized that some people do not see the praise. They don't see the things that Paul is going through. And they don't understand Paul's heart in the midst of his trials. He says, "Brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." He's writing of all the hardships that he faced being imprisoned. Verse 13 says, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." So before we continue on, I want us to see where Paul's talking about here. He's saying, "Listen, I want you to understand something, church. I'm in prison."
He says, but I want you to see something. I've been able to witness to people that I would have never been able to witness to before. All the people in the palace know the gospel now. His predicament, his situation did not hinder his mission. Let me say that again. His situation did not hinder his mission.
We can apply that. Do y'all know that? We can apply that one sentence. Our situation does not hinder our mission. If our situation, if COVID-19 hindered our mission, then our mission was wrong. Does that make sense? I know, I can see the gears turning. Some people are like, I don't agree with that. Let me understand this real quick. Let's connect here so I can get a firm understanding of what Paul's preaching. He says, listen, I can be in shackles, but it was for the furtherance of the gospel. God put these things in motion so that I could do something that I never could have done before. The people on the other side and the people that he's preaching to, I can only imagine they're saying, we got to get Paul out. We got to bust him out. We got to free him. We got to do something to help Paul not get in this predicament again. And Paul's like, hold your horses. The things that came, I'm using them for good. You can't stop the mission. Because the mission has been getting the gospel out to people. I don't care how big and how bad and how devastating this COVID is ever going to be. I don't know. But I guarantee one thing. It's not going to stop the gospel. It's not going to change the life-changing power of God. Because when the world hits us, we change. We're not talking about changing foundations. We're not talking about changing the things that are important. We're talking about rolling with the punches. I was having a conversation the other day on how 2020 and 2021, it was like a lot like a boxing match. If you ever watch boxing, you'll recognize something. There's patterns that develop, but the patterns don't last long, so you got to be mindful of it. The two fighters that are in the ring, they are trained a very specific way. A pattern of punches, a pattern of steps, a pattern of doing these things. And what happens is when they get locked in that pattern and the other fighter sees it, he can counter it. Well, I know he's going to do two steps back, one step forward. So when he steps forward, I'm going to swing. I know he's going to go left, left, right. And when he pulls that right, I'm going to move right and I'm going to swing in. So you'll recognize something in boxing is that those individuals are constantly changing their patterns to offset the other one. Does it mean when they change that they're no longer a boxer? No. It just means they have to fit all the things that are fighting to them. Are we able to do what we've always done? No. We have to change. Does that mean that we're no longer a Christian? No. Just means that we have to preach a different way. We have to talk a different way. We have to move a different way. We have to sing a different way. We've got to be willing to fight with this world on its terms because whether we like it or not, the world is fighting us. I'm not saying we change our foundation. I'm not saying we change who we are. I'm saying if we're going to land an effective punch for Christ, if we're going to contend for the faith, is what Jude tells us. If we're going to be contenders in this, we've got to be willing to do what it takes. To move. To shift. To love people who we don't normally love. To reach out to people that we don't normally reach out to. It's been a whirlwind of a few years, hasn't it? And I know many of us were battered and bruised. We're in the 12th round and we are suffering. But I'm here to tell you, listen, we're still in the fight. We're going to get through this. Paul was reassuring his people that his predicament was not something's bad. Continue with me in verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill.
And one person in particular he's reminded of, preaches Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bond. But the other, more people, they preach Christ in love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. I want us to see something here. Paul was not only just persecuted by the government, not only was he handcuffed, not only was he chained in writing this very impressive letter of love and comfort and God's will, but he had other people that were preaching against him. He says, I know one person in particular who is preaching Christ of contention. He said, that I may add unto my bonds. He says, there are people out there who preach against me. Now listen, before we go into any further, how many of y'all think if you had a coworker that talked bad about you and what you were both doing was a good thing, how many of y'all know that that would get pretty heartfelt, tender? You would be hurt that your cohorts were the ones that were speaking against you. That the people that you have invested your life in, the message and the gospel of God was tainted because somebody else was pushing another preacher down. Listen, that's just bad news. I don't see how Paul is going to turn that into good news. Let's say something here. Look at verse 18. I love how Paul turns this. He says, what then? I love that. What is it? Look with me. He says, notwithstanding every day or in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yea, I will rejoice. Now listen, in case you didn't get that, I find this to be an amazing badge on Paul's character. He says, other preachers, they preach bad against me, but who cares if they're preaching that God is good? Now listen, I love Paul for that. That's an amazing thing for us to recognize the value of critics. In case you didn't know, critics have no value. None. He says, Paul says, as long as they're preaching Christ crucified, then I rejoice. I am loving the fact that God is getting praised by the people who hurt me. Now listen, that's such an amazing thing because we see in the book of James that somebody can't have sweet water and bitter water come out of the same fountain. That an individual can be for God or against God. You can't be both. But Paul gives us a little insight here. You can be a Christian and praise God and still have differences with other people. How many of y'all recognize that? And Paul wasn't getting bent out of shape because somebody said something bad. Paul was rejoicing in the fact that Christ was lifted up. So if I were to bring this down to a you and me level, how we're going to walk out of this with something to hold on to, I want you to see two things. One, critics mean nothing. Somebody talks bad about you, what then? So what? The main important thing is this, is that they preach Christ is good and gracious and that there's a salvation for the lost and anybody who would accept Him. He says, and I rejoice. Now listen, this is not about a mature Christian rejoicing that somebody's preaching bad about him. There is a mature Christian who is rejoicing that the priorities of the individual who is saying a bad thing knows that God is still good. I haven't lived as long as most of you, but I've made quite a few enemies. I've made a few people mad along the way, and it breaks my heart. There's nothing I want to do to mend those relationships. But I want us to be sincere here. I believe that if God is preached and honored and put up, that's the main thing. So I leave you with this. Don't pay any attention to critics and always put priority what is priority. If somebody talks bad about you, listen. Like a good southern term, like water off a duck's back. Amen. Just let it roll off.
Be better than that. Don't let it seep into you. Don't think about those things because, listen, they come out of a bad spot. But the most important thing is this, is make sure you put God first in your life, in your speech, in your song, in your sermons, in your heart. If you do that, you make not only me happy, but you make God happy. Paul, the preacher here, says, as long as the people who are fighting against me, if it's only just you, Church of Philippi, if you take God and put Him first, that is what's important. Speak bad about me if you will. Have those preachers speak bad about me if they will. But so what, as long as God is first? That's what priority is. Putting God first. Let's keep going. Two more verses, 19-20, as we look at his persecution. Paul was hit on the outside with his bonds and on the inside with those that he preached with. 19 and 20 say this, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectations and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be in life or in death." Paul lived a spiritually reckless life for Christ. Paul always called a spade. He never spliced his words. He was always tenderhearted to those who heard his message. He took the gospel places that no one wanted to go. He was indeed both in his faith, trusting God would give the reward of his labor and of his love. His labor found him in bonds more than one occasion. Here we find him in prison. And he never lost his mission to give the gospel. Matter of fact, if you take this to heart, I've said this many times before, a long time ago. It's hard to believe that I've been here almost 2 years now. But when I first came, I made this statement, and I actually put this verse on the screen. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That was Christ's mission. That's what took first. It took first place among anything else. It's to find the lost and to bring them back. Many of y'all may remember this story when I talked about Jesus leaving the 99 to find the one. How many of y'all remember that sermon? He left the 99. The ones that were taken care of, the ones that were protected, the ones that had a home. And his mission was to those that did not have that protection, the ones that did not have a home, the ones that did not have salvation. That was Paul's main focus. God's mission was his mission. And that no matter his situation, it would not change the mission. His mission was to find the lost. No matter what. What I love, though, if we go back to our text in verse 19, he had knowledge of something that was not yet come. He says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers." Hey, if you can't know it, let me just remind you of something. Prayer works. Prayer works. Paul was assured. He says, "If you pray, I will have salvation." And he didn't say, maybe. He didn't say percentage. He says, I know. I know that I'm going to win. I know that I'm going to get out of here because you are praying for me. Take another tidbit home, stuff it in your pocket. Prayer works. Let's get to that second verse that I've heard this week. Going down to verse 21. To live as Christ, to die as gain. To live as Christ and to die as gain. Verse 22 says, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not or know not. For I am in the strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart, which is to die, and to be with Christ, which is far better."
Some of y'all laugh, but that's true. To be with Christ is far better than to be in this world. I don't know about you, but kicking up gold dust is a lot better than kicking up real dust. I believe the fruits of those trees are going to be sweeter than any fruit that this world has to offer. I believe the embrace of Christ is going to be warmer than any embrace on this world. Let us not argue that heaven is not better than this world, because it is. It doesn't even compare. Can I get an amen? The way that I recall it, there is no night. There is no hunger. There is no tears. There is no pain. There is no selfishness. There is no hurt in heaven. I don't know, but that sounds like a dream to me. To eat and not be hungry. To come to a meal only to fellowship. To live in the presence of light itself. What an amazing thing. Let's not put a negative spin on heaven, ever. But there is something that is to be said here. He says this, continue on in verse 24. He says, nevertheless, heaven is a great place, y'all say amen. But to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance in joy and faith. Heaven's a great place, but we're needed here. Can I get an amen? I know that's not what you want to say. Because we all know that Christ is better. Heaven is better. We all know that that place beyond the shore of Jordan is an amazing place to be. And there's nothing else anybody in this room would ever desire to have, because to live is Christ and to die is gain. But to live as Christ is important. If you haven't done this in a while, I encourage you to do it. It's an amazing visual. When you get the time, especially right here in the winter months, this is a great time to do it. I want you to black out a room. Put cardboard up on the windowsills, cover up all the holes, turn all the electronics off, and black out a room to where it's completely dark. No light at all. And you light one match. You light one candle and you put it away. And you sit there and you just watch. It's going to take some time, but I want you to see something. And I mean that literal. That one little light, that dull little flicker of that candle, will light the entire room when our eyes adjust. The Bible tells us we are the light of the world. We have a responsibility. If we took all the lights out, it would be nothing but darkness. We have a responsibility to be the hands and the feet of Christ in the midst of darkness. If I'm not mistaken, Peter says it the best that fits me. He says, we are the ones in the midst of a wicked and perverse nation. Everybody around me is darkness and hurting. And all I want to do is be in heaven. And all I want to do is smile. And all I want to do is be able to breathe without a mask. And all I want to do is love. Yeah, that's what we all want. And we'll have our time. We'll get there. But what's most important right now, we live as Christ. We take the moniker of being the light, the salt and the light in the world, and it means something. We take that and we run with it, and we take that and we understand the burden on which it bears. Paul said it himself, and he couldn't have said it any better. To live as Christ and to die as gain. Heaven is an amazing place, and yes, it's far better, but I have a responsibility to be the light. I think Paul ends it no better way than how we can end a service today. He says, for the furtherance of your joy and your faith do I stay. Now listen, this is greatly applicable if you'll listen to me. You want to know how to be the best light you can be? You bring joy to other people, and you bring faith to other people. Nobody likes a grumpy Gus. Nobody likes it when we eat pickles for breakfast. Nobody likes it when we've got frowny face Magoo over here. But the truth of the matter is, we are called to bring joy. If there's any reason for the world to be happy, it should be at a service like this where Christ is King and put on display. Y'all say amen. If there's any reason to praise our hands, if there's any reason to sing, if there's any reason to smile, if there's any reason to bring a blessing to somebody else, it's because we are Christians. And that means something. You say, now listen, if you're like me, you have a natural disposition to be grumpy, especially before coffee. If you're anything like me, it's easy to become a downturn, to get in this downward spiral of being grumpy. That's fine. God makes us all differently, and some of us, we need caffeine to perk us up and make us smile. But the second half of that, I don't see where anybody can say no. If you have a voice, if you can communicate love and communicate faith, it is your responsibility to do so. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I believe it's your responsibility to tell people about that Savior. I don't know many people that would argue with that, but I have many people who have problems with that because they say things like, but I don't know how. You just do it and you learn along the way. You learn from your own mistakes. And you tell people about how good God is and what He's done in your life. The best way for me to communicate that is to do your own testimony. Write it down. Tell people about how God makes it in your life. How He's changed it. How He's loved it. How to make it more lovely. We are called to be givers of the gospel and givers of joy. I want to ask you, church, as we get ready to close, are you doing these two things? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11 says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his works be pure and whether it be right. I'm not here to judge. Don't get me wrong. I'm here to reflect. I'm here to look at the Bible and have it look back at me. I want us all to look into the mirror of God's Word and ask this question. Are we giving joy? Are we giving faith? With every head bowed, with every eye closed,